Did Lazicha for the schus of Naftali ben Alexander Olav Hashalom and Avram Beer ben Shmer al Hakoin Olav Hashalom. May the Nishamas have a very great Aliyah. Okay. Just give me 1 second here. Make sure we have a no disturb situation going on here. Airplane, do not disturb. All right. We are holding in our Mashiach Matters class in the story of Rivka and Eliezer, the Shidduch, and the marriage. However, I'm going to, this week, we're not going to continue. We missed already on that, actually, 2-3 weeks. We have to get back on. Instead, I'm going to do... I found something really, really fascinating in this week's Parshas Ki Sisa, even though this is not a Parsha class. But yet, I'd like to do a... something on this week's Parsha, because I came across this and it touched me very much, very deeply. It's in Parshas Ki Sisa. It's a Zohar. I discovered it because the Rebbe mentions the Zohar in a Sicha that I discussed on Monday night. And then there are some explanations from the Rebbe's father, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, on this passage of the Zohar. And I don't know how much we're going to get through. It's really, really fascinating. The question is where I will start. There's one main pirush on a pasuk in Devarim. But again, it's Zohar Parshas Ki Sisa. And it says so much. I'm going to skip around a little bit share with you. I am going to skip around a little bit and share with you what it says. The Zohar is describing a situation where two of the sages, the greatest mystics and sages of the Zohar, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chiya, went together on the road. I love this when the two when the two of them go on the road together, because you have all these stories that come out. In the beginning, it describes how they went. They were left at night. It started to become morning, and a whole long story with the sun break, the sun coming out, and Reb Chiya was talking about certain elements. And then it's interesting. I'm not going to go there because we can really spend 3 hours over here going through everything that is discussed over here. But then it says over here, hold on 1 second, they came to a house in a field, they davened shachris, it was morning. After they davened, Rabbi Yossi said, now let's attach ourselves to the Shechina and let us go learn Torah. So I guess all the discussion that they had before that, which was really, 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 really special, was without being attached to the Shechina and without not considered studying Torah. That was just like small talk. So Pasuk Rabbi Yossi said like that. V'Amar, and he says, it says in a Pasuk, Hein yivoyshu v'yikolmu kol anechrim bach. They will, in Yeshaya, it says they will be ashamed and they will be embarrassed, all those that are nechrim bach. What exactly is the translation of the word nechrim? Those who poke fun of you, those who make fun of you, and so forth. I think so. I'm not exactly sure of the word necherim. So the Zohar continues like this, that Hashem zamen akutshu b'richu lemebad liYisrael kol inin tavin dekamar al yedei neviyek shayt. That Hashem is going to fulfill for the Jewish people all the good that He promised us through the truth, through the true prophets. And the Yisrael savlu aleihem kama bishin b'galusayn, and Yidden suffered because of them much suffering in their galut. In their galus, Yidden suffered. But here, this is so powerful. And if not for all these good things that the Jewish people had seen and have been waiting for, because they saw written in the Torah about what's going to be in the end of days, they would not have been able to withstand the hardships, the difficulties, the suffering of the exile. So first of all, anybody that has any doubts, if any one thing in the Navi is not going to be fulfilled, Rabbi Yossi is saying, but what do you mean? The only reason the Jewish people were able to withstand the Gullus was because they saw these things written in the Torah, and this is what, and if not for this, they would not have been able to withstand the exile. Aval, the Zohar continues, Azlan Abay Midrashes, the Jewish people go to the Beis Medrash, they go to the shuls, Paschen Sifrin, they open up books, V'chomin kol inin tavin da kamachakin, and they see all these good things that they've been waiting for. V'chomin k'sivin by Raisa, and they see these things written in the Torah. Ta'aftach aloin kutcha berichu alayu, that Hashem has promised them. U'misnachmin begalusay. And this is what comforts them in their exile. V'shar amen, and all the other nations, mechorfin u'megatfin loin. They make fun of them, and they tease them. And they say, v'omrin, and they said throughout the entire exile, anu elohechon, where is your God? An inun tavin da'atin omrin dizminin lachon, where is all the goodness that he said, that you keep on saying it's going to happen? Where is it? Where is it? What's going on? And that you said that all the other nations will be embarrassed, ashamed of you. Where is that? This is what the Pasuk means, the Pasuk we began with. Shimu Dvar Hashem, listen. The word of God, Acharedim El Dvarai, those that are trembled to my words. Amru Achechem Seinachem V'goymer Maya, meaning, who says this? We say, listen to the word of God, those who fear His word. Amru, they say, Achechem, your brother, Seinachem, those who hate you. So what does that mean? Hacharedim El Dvarai, those that are, who are the ones that listen, those who are Charedim, those that fear God's words. That's referring to all those that have withstood the suffering of the exile. Inan the Savlin Kama Bishin. These people who suffered all the suffering. Kama Shmuay Shamu Ilan Al Ilan. How many things did they hear? Ilan Basar Ilan. One after the other. I guess, I don't know what he means over here. If he means we heard bad news. They heard all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I guess that's what it is when you're in Galus. I'm not sure this is what it means, but we keep on hearing, you know, this happened over here, this happened over here, this problem and this problem. Like it says, and he brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Koil charada shamanu, a sound of a tremble we've heard, pacha, dread, ve'ein shalom, and no peace. Inon charedim tader el devarai, kashen kadasavadina, when the judgments were being done to the Jewish people in exile, when we came wave after wave after wave of persecutions and suffering and all kinds of that, and these were charedim al devarai, right? So who says, Amru achechem seinachem, your enemies, your brothers, your enemies say, these are the children of Esav. Menadechem, those that have excommunicated you. And he brings a pasuk where it says in Echa that the enemy said to the Jewish people, Suru tame, karu lame, go away, you defiled one. So the Jews were throughout exile, in the Christian long thousands of years, Jews were called the defiled one, those that were contaminated by Satan and the like. There isn't a nation that has embarrassed the Jewish people. And spit in their face. The Yisrael to the Jewish people, kibnei Edom, like the children of Edom. They say we are all like a nida. We're despicable. We're ugly. We're contaminated like a nida. Like a woman in her menstruation. This is what it means, minadechem, from the word nida. Laman Shmi Yuchbad Hashem, listen to this. For my name, God is honored. So the Zohar says, this is, what does it mean? Who is saying this? Esav is saying this. The glory of God is for my sake. Anan b'noy dekel k'chai, we are the children, we are the Israelites, we are the true children of the living God. Dibon Yisyakar Shemei, through us, his name will be glorified. Anan shaltan en al alma begin the ahud ikra God, we rule the world, because of the one who's called big. Esav is called Esav Benoy HaGadol. He's called the older son, the big son. And therefore, he's representing God. U'b'shma da ikra kutcha b'richu Gadol. And God is also called Gadol. Like it says, Gadol Hashem HaMahul El Miod. So we are the big one. God is big. We are great. We are powerful. We are strong. So God's glory comes through us. Anon b'nei HaGadol di'iyu Gadol. We are the children of the big one, because he is great. Vadai laman shmi yuchpad Hashem. For my name, God will be glorified. Avol atin ze'irin mekoila, but you are so tiny and small. Yaakov b'noha katan, you're Yaakov, the little child. Anu Elokeichon, where is your God? Anu inen tavin deyichsefin kolam amaya mechedvad olachoin. Where are all those? Where is all the goodness that all the nations of the world should be shamed from your joy? Man yitein v'nire b'simchaschem, kamoda aten amrim. Who will give? And we will see. Well, let's see. When is that going to happen? We will see your joy that you say. See, what the world is such a problem with the Jewish people taking, you know, this goodness happening. It's interesting, but you see, Dafka, some of the B'nai Esav are so supporting it, but it's interesting. V'hem yavoishu, and they will be embarrassed. Come on. Okay. U'bagundu ruach kutsu b'richu amar milo hacha. And that's why Ruach HaKodesh says, v'aldohen yavoishu v'yakomu kol ha-necherim bach. They will be ashamed, all those that tease you. My kol ha-necherim bach, titkofu nechirayon b'kas, b'rigzaleh b'galusa. They have opened up their nostrils with anger, with rage against you. They've let out all their rage upon you in exile. But who's in at that time? Yevoishu v'yakomu. They will be ashamed and embarrassed. Mikol tovin, from all the good, the yechmin lohin liyisrael, that they will see is happening to the Jewish people. Amar Reb Chiya. So this is what Reb Yossi says. Now we're going to see later in the Father Rebbe's father's talk, Rishimus, he explains how Reb Yossi is so identified with exile, because Reb Yossi is Malchus. Yossi is his root of his neshama is in Malchus, which is the Shechina, and therefore he bears the galus more than anybody else. He senses it, he feels it, he feels the pain, the suffering. Reb Chiya, however, is from a level related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's higher than Shechina. Reb Chiya is related to the attribute of Yesod, which is transcendent, which is a little bit higher. In any case, Amar Reb Chiya, so Reb Chiya says to Reb Yosef, Hachu Hu Vaday, it's for sure this is the way, but it's taking so long, it's taking so long. Avo Chaminen V'Hacha Chamu, but we see, and so they see, Takufei Alma, the strong ones of the world, they see that this exile is never coming to an end. This is crazy, this was said, 1800 years ago. The Galusa is Mashach, the Galus is continuing, Vadayan Breda David Loyas, and the son of David still hasn't come. Maybe Reb Chiya was referring to, you know, when the Zohar would be found. You know, the Zohar was hidden for many few hundred years. But Reb Chiya wasn't so long after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Chiya was in the time of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So how long is that? But 100 years later. But still, it says it's so long, and the son of David hasn't come. Who would have thought 1900 years? Omer Reb Yossi, v'chol da'achi, it's taka true. Avoman ova de'yizvul in Yisrael galusada. But who made, who allowed the Jewish people to be able to withstand this galus? Kol inen haftachis da'avtach lo'in ha'kutcha b'richu. What enabled us, again, Reb Yossi is going back to this, what enabled us to withstand all these promises is the promises that Hashem has promised us. Va'itmar da'olin l'bat ha'knesiyos l'bat ha'medrashis. The Jewish people go up to the Beis Medrash and into the shuls. V'chamin kolin ha'chamis, and they see all these comforts. V'chadin b'libayu, and in their hearts they rejoice. L'mizbal, and they are willing even to withstand kol man di'aisi olai, all that comes upon them. But if not for this, they would never have made it through the Golus. So Reb Chiya comes, and then Reb Chiya says, you're really, but it's for sure this way, but it's all dependent on tshuva, in repentance. And if you're going to say, Reb Chiya says, that they're able to do tshuva now, that all the Jewish people can do tshuva now, and therefore Mashiach will come, lo yachlin, they're not able to. In other words, you know, it's not like we could do tshuva and just make Mashiach happen. Reb Chiya says, no. Why? My tama lo yachlam, why we're not able to do tshuva? Because it says in the pasuk, hear this, v'ho yuki yivoyu alecha kol advarim e'ele, when all the aforementioned things are going to come upon you, which means all the tzaris, then v'ashavoysel v'avecho b'chol ha'goyim asher editachacho v'goyimer. Then you're going to take it into your heart amongst all the nations that God has scattered you. And only then, v'shafta Hashem Elokecha, only then you will do tshuva. And this is the meaning. Only when you're going to be scattered across the globe. Misham yekabetzcha, then he will gather you in. And therefore, until all these things are not fulfilled, which means Jewish people scanning or spreading across the entire world, until then we're not able to do tshuva. Lo yachlin, l'sara tshuva minayu, we will not be able to come to do tshuva. That's Reb Chiya. Reb Yossi doesn't like this. Because as I mentioned earlier, Reb Chiya is more transcendent. Reb Yossi is more imminent in the suffering. And Reb Yossi says, Kama satamta kol orcha neshvila mekol b'nei galusa. Did you now close all the doors for all the exiles? V'leshavkis loin pischem peh, you don't give them ability to open their mouths. Because, you know, you're basically saying that until we don't complete the entire galus and come across the entire globe, we can't do tshuva. Yehacha lehava kamoi dahava b'chol dara v'dara. If it is the way you're saying, the lo yizbin galusa v'loy agra, those who don't want to take, so it will be like generations who didn't want to take the galus, didn't want to withstand it, and they didn't want to get its reward. The yifkin medina dairaisa, and basically, you know, throw off the yoke of Torah, meaning people who were not willing to endure for the ultimate reward, these arvin b'sharam, and they're going to assimilate in other nations. So therefore, what you're saying now, that there's no hope for till all this is going to be fulfilled, and who knows how many thousands of years, is very dangerous. I don't like that, Reb Yossi says. And therefore, Pasach v'Omar, he opened and he said, maybe this is Reb Chiya speaking again, I'm not sure who is the one who says this. And he lightens the whole thing up and he says, no, it's possible that if we can speed up the exile and make it happen, finish and bring the Mashiach earlier. It says a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Kamo yahara takriv loledes," just like a pregnant woman comes close to give birth, "Tachul v'tizak bechavaleha," she begins to cry in her labor pains. "My kamo yahara," it says, like a pregnant woman. What's the comparison? "Arach iyu liyubarta la'abra la'chei yarchin shleiman." It is generally the way of a pregnant woman to have full 9 months of pregnancy. The is ba'ol makama v'kama, but there are many in the world. However, there are many who don't pass all 9 months. However, at the first or second day from their ninth month, they already give birth. V'chotzirin v'chavolin di'barto b'tshi'inun. And all the real pains and suffering of a pregnant woman is in the ninth month. And these people cut it out kind of because they get out of it early. Then even though they only get one day of it, it's considered as if they passed the entire ninth month of all the discomfort of the ninth month. The same is also over here. Yisrael kiven di tamu tam galusa. As soon as the Yidden have tasted the taste of exile, iyahadrin b'tshuva, if they do tshuva, yischashev alayu kilu abri olayu kolin and milin d'chsivin b'raisa. It will be considered as all of this has happened upon them, so they don't have to actually go through all of it. Kolshkin v'kolshkin dekama v'kama yisirin abri olayu min yomid d'galusa shari. Especially since so much pain and suffering has already happened upon them, so definitely they were yoytza. This is Reb Chiya saying. I guess Reb Chiya is explaining. It's all dependent on tshuva. Earlier he said, however, you can't do tshuva until you go through and endure all the endurances. Now he says that just like, he brings the pasuk, that just like a pregnant woman can kind of have her baby early, it's possible also that the birth of the geula should also happen early. Okay, this was all an introduction to the main part of the Zohar that I wanted to read with you. That in which the Rebbe's father has a very interesting beer on it. Okay, avamai d'chsiv, but what does it say? Hear these words: Bartzar lecha, when the pains will come upon you, umetzaacha kol advarim me'ela, and all these things will happen to you ba'achris ayamim, in the end of days, implying that what, that the geula can only come in the end of days, and we're saying now that it's possible to have it earlier. So what does it mean when these things will happen in the end of days? Seems to be saying that no, it will have to only happen in the end of days. Which, by the way, of course, we're in the end of days now. That's for sure. So, but hear this piece of Zohar. Tachazi kama rachmanusa racham kutcha b'richu alai d'Yisrael b'milada. Take a look how much rachmanes Hashem has on the Jewish people. And he gives an example. He gives a mashal. to a king that had. I'm going to read it not in the Aramaic, so it's going to be a little quicker. To a king who had a one and only child, and he loved him with all of his love, the love of his life. And because of his tremendous love, he gave him to his mother, the queen. I don't know what I understand what that means. What does it mean? Because he loves him, he gives him to his mother. She's his mother, whether he gives him or not. Maybe he gave him under her care. He loves him so much, he puts her under because he knows that she will take care of him best. Anyways, that she should raise him and she should teach him correct ways. One time, the son, this boy, sinned against his father. So his father took him and he beat him. And he forgave him. Okay, he gave him some. He gave him a little beating, and then he forgave him. So then he went back to his old ways, and again he sinned to his father. So his father kicked him out of the house, got angry at him, kicked him out of the house, and the son left the house. And now instead of him going in a correct path, and to improve his behavior. So his father should hear, and he should take him back. That's instead of him doing that, what did he do? Since he left his father's house, he went and he said like this: since my father kicked me out, from now on I can do whatever I want. What did he do? He went to a house of prostitutes, and he became filthy with them, and all the time wherever he went, he had these girls with him. Now his mother, the queen, his mother, every day she would go visit her son, even in that lowly place. And she knew that her son connected with this very, very, very uncomplimentary company over here. And all the time he's just hanging out with these Zionists over here. So she was crying, and she was very, very bitter about her Nabach state of the prince, of what happened to him. One day, the father went to visit the mother, went to visit her, and he saw that she's crying. And he says, "Why are you crying?" So she said, "How can I not cry if my son is kicked out of the house? And not only that, that he's not sitting in the palace, but he connected himself and he got company of all these prostitutes. What are all the people in the world going to say? The prince is sitting in a house of..." So what did... she began to cry again and to beg the king. So the king said, "For your sake, I will return him. But you, hear this, but you are the guarantor." In other words, you're going to guarantee that he's going to... It's your responsibility to make sure he behaves. So she said, "Yeah, definitely." So the king said, "Since this is so, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to bring him back during the daytime in a very open way, because it's embarrassing that I should go down to a place of prostitutes. And if he wouldn't have made himself so filthy, and if he wouldn't have desecrated my honor, I, with all my armies, would have gone to him. We would have gone down with such pride and such honor, with how much, with trumpets. We would have made a huge parade. We would have had all types of armed men, and with weapons, and so on the right and on the left, until the entire world would tremble and would be so scared of the sun and would know, oh, you don't mess with him. But now, since he's made himself so filthy and he has desecrated his honor, so we're going to go secretly and we're going to take him out, so that Ahadale the Gabba Malkus, he brings him back to the king, and he gave him back to the mother. Anyways, then he got filthy, then he got dirty again. I mean, he sinned against. What did the king do? This time, since the mother was responsible, he kicked him out together with the mother and from his palace. He said, he's going and you're going with him, because you're the one who took this. Therefore, together, tarvaychu ta'achin v'tarvaychu tizbalin galusa, may you, both of you, will go, and both of you will endure the exile. Umalkiyusataman, and beatings in the exile. And once you're both going to suffer together, then I know that my son will do tshuva in the end, meaning my son will repent and he will be the way he should be. Then the Zohar goes ahead and tells us this whole story as it applies to God. That Hashem took them to Mitzrayim, And even though when Hashem took them to Mitzrayim, they never sinned, this was a decree, the Zohar says, that it has to be this way, that they have to be go down to Mitzrayim. And there were actually two reasons why there was some kind of a blemish. One is that Avram Avinu said, "Bama eidak yirashena." How will I know that I will inherit it? That was considered a sin. And also because until they don't go out of Mitzrayim, they're not going to be considered a nation. Okay. In any case, but so he continues and he says, Kishashani brings the pasuk in Tehillah in Shir Hashirim where it says, "Like a rose amongst the thorns." Okay, I'm going to skip a little bit. It's explaining how the rose only gives off its, is only beautiful and gives off its delicious fragrance only when it's amongst the thorns. So too the Jewish people can only grow into a nation amongst the thorns of Egypt. But once the rose is ready, you take the rose and the thorns have no meaning at all. They're all nothing. Okay. But in any case, over here, but when it came time to redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, Hashem went with many armies, with millions of malachim and so forth, and with open with flat banners, and he took his oldest son out with all kinds of powerful things, and he brought him to his chamber, okay, and he sat him down in the house of the king, and he brought him to the Beis HaMikdash. When the Jewish people sinned, he beat them. That's talking about while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. It says in Shoftim, or before that, during the Mishkan, that Hashem got angry at the Jewish people and he gave them in the hands of the Pelishtim, others that caused them, inflicted suffering upon them. But then they did tshuva. In the end, God kicked them out of the house. That was during the exile of Bavel. It's interesting. There's a Chazal say, Galu le'elam, when the Jews went down to Elam, Shechina imam, the Shechina went along with them. Elam is Shushan. It implies that Galu le'bavel, Shechina imam. From this Zohar, it implies that the first galus, when Jews went to exile, the Shechina is not really so much with them. She comes to visit them in the story, but she wasn't banished. The idea that the Shechina was kicked out and banished seems to have only been during the galus Edom, like the story that the Zohar is saying. Because the first time, it's the son that's sent, but the mother goes to visit him. When the Jews saw that they went to Bavel, what does it say over there? They intermarried. They married Persian women. And they had children from them. But still, their mother, which is the Shechina, was an apotrop, and she was taking care of them. So Hashem said as follows, since it's an embarrassment, let my son come on his own. I'm not going to go, because why? When we came out of Bavel, there wasn't big miracles. Because Hashem said, since he desecrated my honor, he's not worthy that I should go over there to take him out and to do miracles before him. So therefore, let him return here without the miracles and without wonders. And that's what happened. They returned. They were poor. They came in poverty. And they returned to his palace in big shame. And the mother guaranteed, which means the Shechina, guaranteed our behavior. In the end, we returned back to our old ways. What did Hashem do? He sent the Jewish people out from his chamber with the mother with him. And he said, from now on, hear these words, Ima ubra yizbalin, the mother and the child together will suffer. Kamabishin, how much pains kachada together. And this is what it says in the pasuk, ubepisheichem, and because of your sins, sholcha imchem, your mother was sent into exile. And this is the meaning, now we come to the pirush. Batzar lecha, when you're going to have pain. Umetzaucha kol advarim ha'ela ba'achris hayamim. We asked before, what does it mean, the end of days? So end of days, the Zohar is learning, doesn't mean in the end time. End of days doesn't mean in the end time, in the end of days, a late date. Achris Hayamim is a reference to the Shechina. Shechina is called Achris Hayamim. My ba'achris Hayamim, what does it mean, Achris Hayamim? This is Eima Kadisha. Batzar lecha, when you will be in pain, umitza'acha will happen to you, kol ha dvarim e'ela, all these things. When will it happen to you? It will happen to you, ba'achris hayamim, together with the Shechina, who's called end of days. Why? Because the midos, the supernal attributes above, are called yamim, days. Chesed, gevura, teferes, they're all called days. Sheshes, yamim, as Hashem. What's the last of those days? The last day is Shabbos. So Shechina is called achris hayamim. And therefore, together with her, the Jewish people suffered in the Galus. That's the meaning of Ba'achris Hayam. But if they do tshuva, like we said earlier, so then even one suffering, one bit of pain would be have considered as if they have already endured everything. But if not, then it is closed and we have no date. Sasim kits, not there's no date, no known date. The whole darin delay, okay. And it seems like they've been sold away forever. Chas v'shalom. Avo kutcha berichu. But Hashem, kol ma demacha lo'in Yisro, whenever he is beating the Jewish people, b'hai achris hayamim, it's through the Shechina with the Shechina. U'b'hai achris hayamim, and with the Shechina, yavid lo'in nisin v'nukmin, he's going to do miracles for them and vengeance against those who have oppressed her. The Chsiv, and this is the main pasuk that the whole thing was leading up to. It says, "Vahoya ba'achris hayamim." It will be in the end of days. Nochaniya har beis Hashem beroy shaharim. The mountain of God is going to be established on the top of mountains beroy shaharim. So how does the Zohar learn this? Hear this. What does Reb Chiya say? Reb Chiya says like this: "Vahoya ba'achris hayamim." It will be in the end of days. Means it will be that achris hayamim that's called the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah that's called end of days. Nachon Yeh, she will be established, she will be elevated. The moon, which is the Shekhinah, will be elevated where? Beroish Harim, on the top of mountains. What is top of mountains? Top of mountains means Da Avram Saba, that's Avram the grandfather, which the Rebbe's father translates that to mean not Chesed. It's not that Malchus is going to rise up to Chesed. That's Avram regularly. Avram Saba, Avram the grandfather, is referring to Chachma. Because Chachma is on the right side, the side of Avram, all the way on the top, the grandfather. That means Malchus is going to rise all the way up to Chachma. Kahana Rabba, the great Kohen, Roish Tekoila, the head of everything, will begin to eat Roish, and that's the head. And that's the meaning of what we do when we bench all the time. We take a Kois Shal Bracha, we take a cup, and we know that Kois Shal Bracha, that's Malchus. Malchus is called Kois. David HaMelech says, Koisi Revoya. Malchus is a cup because it receives all the blessings flow into her. It's Malchus. Koishal Bracha is the same idea as Achris Hayamim. And where do we take Malchus? We put her onto the right palm, that's Avram Avinu, the right hand, and we lift it up towards the head. It's lifted up towards Chachma. So benching every day is an when we bench and we take a cup of wine and we lift it up, this is this idea of Ahoya ba'achris hayamim, nochanyia har beis Hashem ba'achris hayamim. Al Roish Harim, that the achris yamim, which is the Shechina, which is Malchus, which has been so trodden upon, so beaten, so trampled on, is going to be elevated all the way up to Chachma, to the highest level. Davram Saba, Lishar Harim, comes before all the other mountains. Kois the bracha itzrich lehavel mesakim biyamina. You have to hold it in the right hand. Anyways, there's a little bit more of a discussion over here, which I'm not going to go into right now. Reb Chiya asks a question. Reb Yosi then asks Reb Chiya, very nice, that this is the pirush. And you also told me what v'nisa mikvoyis is, which not. But what does it mean v'naharu elav kol hagoyim? Here's a very interesting thing that you would have never thought. It says, and they will flock to her after the Beis Hashem will be elevated by Achris Yamim. They will flock to her, all the Gentiles, all the Goyim. So what does it mean, all the Goyim will flock to her? So the Reb Chiya gives a very interesting answer. He says that Goyim over here are not referring to Goyim at all. It's referring to the mitzvah, because this whole idea of Nachan Yehar Beis Hashem Achris Yamim is related to benching. When you take the Koishal Bracha, you take the cup and you lift it up high. And he brings an interesting thing, that when it says that all the nations will flock to her, is that women and children and the shamis, and the one that's serving the meal, they too have to participate in Koishal Bracha. And they're called Kol HaGoyim. Why are they called Goyim? Because they're pater from mitzvahs. Never heard something like that. And that's the meaning, not the Goyim. V'naharu elav kol ha-goyim, they will participate in this aliyas ha-malchus. V'naharu elav kol ha-goyim. The Rebbe, by the way, in the Pirush to his father's talks, the Rebbe says that from here you see that even though women are pater from zimun, women are pater from zimun, they're pater from making a mezimun of three people, benching together with a group, but still you see from here that they should do kashal bracha. So now I'm teaching this, an interesting thing that all the women that are listening to this class, there's an inya that you should pour yourself a cup of wine and lift it up when you're benching. It's an interesting sikha. Because dafka women, v'naharu elav kol agoyim, are shaychas to malchus, and shaychas to that aliyas. It's very interesting. I've never seen that being done, but the Rebbe brings that. My wife is going to be tipsy from now on. That's nice. And can use grape juice. In any case, v'naharu elav kol agoyim. In any case, let me just finish over here. But then Rabbi Yossi asks him a question, but here asks Rabbi Chia. So if this is the case, that Achris Hayamim, the level called Achris Hayamim, is elevated, Beroish Harim, to the top of the mountains, to Chachma, to the highest level, what does it mean that Achris Hayamim is elevated? Why does it say, Nachon Yieh Har Beis Hashem Ba'Achris Hayamim? That only the mountain, the mountain of the house of God, is going to be nachon ba'achris hayam, b'roish haharam, on the top of the mountain. L'chura, according to this, the achris hayamim itself has to be elevated, not the har beis Hashem. What's the har beis Hashem? It's the achris hayamim. It's the shechina called achris hayamim. So the Rabbi Chia answers him, no, this is very, very important. He says that malchus is called eitz hadas tovara. Malchus, because Malchus is the level of the divine that gets involved in the world and creates the world, so she gives life also to Klipa, to the unholy. She sustains the holy and she sustains the unholy. There's a mixture of good and bad. When Malchus is going to be elevated, it's not going to be the entire Malchus. Because all of Malchus, but it's not going to be with her entire family of Klipa. The Ra that's mixed, that's deriving its energy from Malchus, is not going to have that elevation. If it would say that Achris Hayamim is elevated, it would mean Achris Hayamim completely. That means the Shechina, as she is sustaining good and bad, and all of existence is going to be elevated into that great, great elevation. That's why it says, no, only Nachon Yihar Beis Hashem. Har Beis Hashem is the side of Malchus that's the Toiv without the Ra. The Ra that's cleaving, Chas v'Shalom, Malchus doesn't have any Ra, but Malchus is a source for Ra, for evil to be sustained. The Ra is going to be rejected and be pushed away, and only Har Beis Hashem, only the Pnimius of Malchus, and the Toiv, and all the family of goodness that is connected to it, that's going to be elevated. And that's the meaning over there, because there's no Chelek to the Sitra Achra, to the other side. Because Izbirur Har Beis Hashem, the mountain of the house of God, has been Izbarer. It was removed from all evil. And it's interesting, you take a look in the world. There are those who support Jerusalem as being the moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Meaning standing, and there's a birur. You see clearly there's a birur happening in the world. Those who support it, the Har Beis Hashem, and those who don't want Har Beis Hashem. And they have all kinds of sensations of goodness and kindness and the whatever. But it's all fake. Because the Chelek of Ra is going to be separated and rejected. And Nachon Yieh Har Beis Hashem is going to be elevated. And that is the Kois of Bracha. And that is going to be elevated. So Rabbi Yossi says this. Rabbi Yossi hears this. So he says to Rabbi Chia, wow. Wow. I'm so... How fortunate is this road that I was zoicha to go on this way to hear this teachings. From who did you hear this? Who gave you this pirush on Achris Hayamim? Who told you this? So he admitted, Reb Chia admits that it's not his own Torah, but he heard it from someone else. He says, Yoy Machad, I went on the way and I heard Reb Hamnuna Saba. I met the old Reb Hamnuna. Or, according to another Nusach, he met Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And he darshened this drush to Reb Acha. And I heard it. He didn't darshan it to me. He said it to Rav Acha. I heard it, and therefore, anyways, and when I heard it, he says, I got so excited, and I went and I tied a knot on my garment. I tied a knot on my garment, on the corner of my garment, that I should never lose this teaching. This teaching of Achris Hayamim, this I made a knot on my garment. So Rabbi Yossi hears it. Rabbi Yossi says, "Wow, wow, wow! This is such an amazing teaching. Fortunate is the generation that has such people like you," or whatever. And then he said, "If you tied it with one knot, I am going to make 30 knots or 40 knots to remember this." I didn't get to the whole beer of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, but the Rebbe's father over here goes into a whole amazing explanation of who Reb Chiya is and what Rabbi Yossi is, and why Rabbi Yossi, Reb Chiya is enough for him to make one knot, and Rabbi Yossi has to make 30 or 40 knots. And why he makes a dafka in the corner of his beged, and why dafka benegeya to this Torah. I'm going to say one nekuda, just mamash, just one nekuda. We were saying now achris hayamim is the shechina. Now it says that the shechina is shayach to shikha, to forgetfulness. Because here's the thing, shechina is wishy washy. Because Shechina is within the creation. Sometimes she's elevated, sometimes she falls, sometimes she's connected, sometimes she's disconnected. Shechina is in a state of connection, of high elevation. The levels of the divine higher than Shechina are pretty stable. And there's no forgetting over there. The ultimate place where there's godly permanence and there's not shayach to be forgotten anything, the place where there's absolute godly permanence is in Chachma. Because Chachma is the recipient of the Or Ein Sof, Echa, the MS. Over there, there's absolute truth that shines in Chachma. So now, when it says when Mashiach comes, Achris Hayamim is going to be elevated into Chachma, means a place where there is Shayach, forgetfulness, is going to be elevated to a place where there's no forgetting. By Chachma it says, Ulizikaron Beinei Necha, it will be a Zikaron. That's why dafka in regards to this teaching, that there's going to be aliyas hamalchus, that the world where it's possible to forget, let me just translate that into simple words. The fact that we are living in the Shechina's world, we're not living in the world higher than the Shechina, we're living in a world, in our reality is a Shechina reality, a reality of malchus, which is a certain disconnect. We sometimes remember God, we sometimes forget God. We remember, we forget. We're on and we're off. Our Yiddishkeit is not consistent. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be elevated to a place of consistency, to a place of Chachma, where truth is just going to be truth. There's not Shayach to forget. So Rabbi Yossi, when he hears that, now Rabbi Yossi is Malchus. Rabbi Yossi's level is Malchus, which is explained in Lakut Lev Yitzchak many times. So Rabbi Yossi, when he hears this, says, "No, let me make sure that I don't forget this teaching. This very teaching that forgetting the level of Achris Hayamim is going to go up to a place where there's not Shayach to forget. I have to make a tie not to forget this." And especially it's Negeya to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was so excited about this teaching because it's referring to his Aliyah. How do you see that Achris Hayamim is forgetting Shayach to forgetfulness? Yaakov, I just want to say this little word. It's so mind-blowing. Yaakov Avinu, Is what's the level of Yaakov? Yaakov's level is Teferis. Chesed Gevurah Teferis. Yaakov is Teferis. Teferis, there's no shikha, there's no forgetting. It's not like the remembrance of Chachma, but there's no forgetting there. That's why it says, Vayava Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem, that Yaakov came Shalem complete to Ir Shechem. And what does it say? Rashi says, Shalom begufay, shalom b'mamayna, he was complete in his body and his money. Shalom b'tarasa, he was complete in his Torah. Shalom shachach klum, he didn't forget anything when he was in the house of Lavan. Yaakov didn't forget. Yaakov's holiness of Yitzchak's house was as vivid by him without any forgetfulness. So Yaakov is not shaykh to forget. Yet, when Yaakov gathers his children and he says, gather together, va'agida eschem, and I will tell you what's going to happen. Ba'achris ayamim, in the end of days, suddenly Yaakov forgets. The Shechina goes away from him. He forgets what he wanted to say. And the answer is, when Yaakov entered the achris ayamim zone, when Yaakov went down into Malchus, he went into her territory, he went into a place of forgetting. So Yaakov also forgot. So Rabbi Yossi is very worried about forgetting, so he makes a knot. Why he makes 30 and 40 knots, he discusses it. It's really amazing. But before that, the question is, Reb Chiya, the Kabbalistically, the level of Reb Chiya is the level of Yesod. Yesod, L'chaira, is part of the Ze'er Anpin, a place where there's no changes, where there's no forgetting. Because it's like just like Teferes doesn't forget, Yisrael doesn't need to forget. It's part of why? Because it's he says Gevaldig Inyan. The female world is where there is forgetting. In the male world, there's no forgetting because Zachar, male Zachar means remember. Zachar, remember. So there's not shayach forgetfulness in the realm. So L'chayra, why does Reb Chiya have to make a knot? Mele Reb Yossi has to make a knot. Nufashteyach. Reb Chiya, why does he have to make a knot? The truth is Reb Chiya makes much less of a knot. He made only one knot. So he explains the reason for that is, here, let me just say this very quickly, is because in Yesoid is like, even though Yesoid is part of the Zeir Anpin, part of the male, but since its entire function is to transmit to the female, to Malchus, it already has shaychus to the world of forgetting. That's why Yosef HaTzadik says, he names his son Menashe, Hashem made me forget all my pain. Kina Shani Elikim. Because of the shaychus to Malchus, because the main spheroids of the Zeir Anpin are the five first spheroids. They're called the Ikrei Hamidos. Yesoid is only to pass on to Malchus. But he doesn't have real shikha. He doesn't have real forgetfulness. That's why he only has to make one knot. When his Rebbe Yossi had to make many more knots, not to forget. And the reason why 10 and 1 versus 30, 40 is a discussion onto its own. But this is the general idea. Again, this was not shaychus to where we were holding. This is just a Zohar of this week's Parsha, Parshas Kisisa. What's it doing in Parshas Kisisa? Let me throw in my own silly 2 cents. Kisisa means when you will lift up. And that's what we're talking about. Lifting up, raising up the Shekhinah to the ultimate heights. So the Zohar talks about the elevation of the Jewish people, and the elevation of Malchus, and the end of Galus. Everyone should have a really good week. Next week, Thursday, I'm going to be in New York for a wedding. And I don't think I'm going to be giving the shiur unless we do a hookup, which is not going to happen. I'm going to be busy. So it's just going to shiur is going to happen then in 2 weeks from now. Okay, everyone, please join in. So I get benched.